In the second reading, all last week and this week, we follow Paul's missionary journeys. Typically, Paul and a partner choose a port city of some influence, and they go there, seeking out the local synagogue or place of prayer where Jews and interested Gentiles are gathered on the Sabbath. It might interest you to know that it took 10 located Jewish family men to make a synagogue. So some cities in the diaspora might not have a synagogue, and the faithful gathered down by the river or some body of water so they had access for ritual purification. The standard procedure for evangelistic teams was to find the Jewish community at their Sabbath gathering. Then those who listened and wanted to hear more would gather with the team on other occasions. The church in each city or larger town was called the body of the Messiah in that place. The name Christians was given to the disciples in Antioch at a later time. And you can see Acts 11:26 for that. Another term that they were called that identified them was believers. Now, believers were those baptized but not yet incorporated by the Spirit into the organic body of the church. The believer might still be under the control of spirits other than the Holy Spirit. So a distinction was made. As soon as possible, though, there was a prayer for the Holy Spirit to form the new believers into an organic community so that they became the body of the Messiah in that place, led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. Paul and his partner stayed in each community they formed about 2 years. And during the 2 years, each member of the community, they identified their spiritual gifts, or the community identified those gifts. And once they were identified, they were used for the upbuilding of the community. And Paul and his partner, then, after 2 years of this kind of formation, would leave the community in the hands of the local leaders, and they would move on, keeping in touch with that community through letters and visits when possible. These community, with their local leaders, were no more than 40 people. The text for today opens when Paul and Silas have joined forces to visit the communities formed in Paul's first missionary journeys. That's their intent. And so they've headed east to Galatian territory. And we hear that the Spirit of Jesus will not allow them to go where they intend. So they are stuck in Troas, still trying to go east. And that night, Paul has a vision. A Macedonian stood before him, implored him with these words, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, when Paul sees the vision, they seek passage immediately to Macedonia and head west in exactly the opposite direction from where they intended to go, concluding that God wants them to preach the gospel in that place. Here is the text then for today. "We set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Samothrace, and on the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We spent some time in that city on the Sabbath, and we went outside the city gates along the river where we thought there would be a place of prayer. We sat and spoke with the women who had gathered there. One of them, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, a worshiper of God, listened. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and her household had been baptized, she offered us an invitation. if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my home. And she prevailed on us. There are several surprises in this text. First, the Macedonian, that's identified in some translations as the man from Macedonia, turns out to be a group of women. Second, Lydia, one of those women, is the first European convert. She is a businesswoman, a sales lady, whose gift it is to influence men to act. She offers, then, a safe house for the evangelistic teams, hospitality that enables the Church of Philippi to grow because she has a place for the evangelistic teams to stay. The Messiah's plan for community is a big surprise to the apostles themselves. As the plan unfolds, it appears that it is that all of us listeners, women and men, parents and children, slave owner and slave, rich and poor, Jew or Greek, army officers and soldiers, jail governors and prisoners, all from surprising places, surprising walks of life, are to be reconciled in one body, the body of the Messiah. The Spirit of Jesus is guiding the whole enterprise and sending his followers to places they never intended to go. And the people whose hearts the Lord opens to pay attention still surprise us. We expect to discover a man, someone to whom people will listen and respond to his witness, and a woman, alone and unrecognized in the structure of authority, listens and pays attention to the call, even if she is unrecognized by those in authority. We may be looking for healthy, straight people. Someone the Lord touches to pay attention, though, is gay or lesbian. The ones we've been taught to think are created by God, but still have an inherent disorder and are not the best representative of God's plan for the communion. Still, the Lord moves that one to pay attention. The truth is, there is no length to which the Lord Jesus Christ will not go to find and claim you and me for his own. No length to which he will not go to help us recognize that we are all part of the plan for communion. It is the Spirit of Jesus who gives the word to the preacher. It is the Spirit of Jesus who touches the heart of the listener. It is the Spirit of Jesus who calls the person to listen and to respond. Our response, like Lydia's, will either build up the body of the Messiah in our place or tear it down, persecuting Jesus himself. Are we listening? We are his body in the world that God loves through Jesus. We are entrusted with the plan for communion. May the Lord open our hearts to pay attention to what God is saying.